Hi, I'm Jamie, and thank you for checking out Bad Dreams. Before we get started, I want to note, these are all listener-submitted stories. If you have a scary story of any kind, fact or fiction, please send it to baddreamspodcast@gmail.com, address in the description. Bad Dreams is a horror podcast featuring strong language, violence, and situations not suitable for all ears. Viewer discretion is advised.
A homeless man tried to kill me as a child. By Jellyfish Child. Narrated by Kelly Bear. My dad used to work at a homeless shelter when I was a kid. His job was to help them find work, get settled, and whatnot. When my grandmother wasn't available to watch me, I would have to go to work with him. He always said his office was too small, so he would leave me in another room with a bunch of Disney VHS movies and some printed out coloring pages to occupy my time. As I'm sure you may assume, a lot of the people that would come to see my dad were drug addicts and schizophrenics. I didn't realize it at the time, but that's the real reason why he would keep me out of his office. Well, one Wednesday in November, something so horrible happened that it's changed me forever. I was in my room, as Ms. Rose, my dad's coworker, called it. It was getting close to 5 p.m. when I heard the sound of the door lock and frantic yelling on the other side. I could hear my dad and Ms. Rose yelling, not at each other, but at someone else. The yelling gradually turned to crying and then faded to nothing but silence. And as a young kid, all alone in this locked room, I was truly scared. Then the knob shook, startling me. But out of childhood innocence, I started to walk over to unlock the door. And just as I touched the handle, a grimy-looking man peeked through a window at me. At first, he was smiling, and I remember he gently said, "Hey there, baby girl, what's your name? Could you unlock the door for me?" And I just stood there, unsure of what to do. Smiling even wider, he said, "Come on, baby girl, just flip the lock. We can color together." Not knowing what to do, I still just stood there, staring at him. Then he started getting really frustrated and he raised his voice again and said, "Open the door, baby girl." Then started banging his head on the glass and yelling, "Look, you don't think I can get in there without your help? You don't think I can't fucking get to you? I'm gonna be your new daddy, baby girl." Then out of nowhere, the right side of the man's face exploded with a gunshot. The facility's armed security guard shot the man in the head, not knowing I was watching. The security guard opened the door, covering my eyes, and brought me to his office where I waited until he handled the situation. That man stabbed my father and Miss Rose, who, realizing there was a real danger at hand, had used her keys to lock me safely in that room. Sadly, she didn't make it. My dad was okay, though, and I've never been happier to see him than that moment when the security guard took me to the ambulance he was in. Miss Rose, I hope you're resting in peace, and I thank you for saving my life. I'm eternally grateful, and not a day goes by without thinking of you and your kind smile and that action you took that day. It's been almost 20 years since that happened. My dad still hasn't been the same since.
Life of a Traitor by Cab Number 1729. You know, it's really funny. In a maximum security prison filled with murderers and rapists, the worst thing they can do is leave you completely alone. Solitary confinement. the human brain needs input or it quickly descends into horrifying madness of its own company. In 2086, when the world government fell into a dictatorship, capital punishment became very common. However, it was solitary confinement that people feared. That was reserved just for treason. I spent my working life making the solitary confinement cells and carrying out the confinement. Here's how it works. The cells are molded to exactly fit the condemned. They are human-shaped coffins, arms out to the sides at 30 degrees, legs 45 degrees apart. For the insertion process, the traitors are sedated. The eyes, ears, and mouth are not damaged, but all are sealed permanently shut and an automated breathing tube is inserted. We use three lines in case of mechanical failure of one. Catheters are inserted to handle waste. The condemned are sealed and buried in a very public traitor's graveyard. With enough autonomous supplies to last 80 years, the condemned are still considered dead the day they are buried. Nasty, right? Well, that was my job for the last 20 years, and I'm pretty numb to the idea of it. One person a day entered the traitor's graveyard. This was so that the condemned person's story could be featured on the evening news, along with their frenzying begging for a pardon. It hasn't caused distress for me in many years. That was until last week, when I was convicted of treason. I can't really argue, I'm guilty. But after seeing the things I have seen, it is surprising I turned to murder. This regime needs to be brought down. This barbaric practice of solitary confinement needs to end now. But it will take a better man than me to achieve that. Today I woke up from the sedation, my eyes and mouth sealed shut. Deafening silence and dazzling blackness greet my panicked brain. The fight or flight response kicks in, and I choose between zero options. I can't move an inch. Even my fingers are molded in place. I just keep thinking about all those people I put down here, all the things I wish I had done differently. I must have been down here for about a week, and I would choose death if I could. I would give anything to take back the treason I committed, the 7,000 people I killed. I only did it to save others from untold suffering. I did it while they were sedated, a syringe of air into their veins to cause cardiac arrest. One murder each day for 20 years. It's just me alive down here, living the life of a traitor.
Count. Written by Dylan Martin. Narrated by Jesse Keaton. To read more of Dylan's stories, visit keepingrational.com. One, two, three, four. David paused, refusing to let out even the smallest hint of sound as he slowly exhaled. It had been hours since he found himself within the kitchen sink cabinets, or at least that's what his mind was telling him. The darkness within the house had not subsided, which made little sense to him, seeing as he and Brian had broken into the house in the early hours of the morning. Shouldn't there be light by now? David's thoughts shifted back to Brian, and the overwhelming dread blanketed him all over again as he once again realized the situation that he was facing. The counting in his head had helped at first, at least enough to allow him to attempt to process all that had happened in such a short span of time. David had always had the little tick, counting to himself in moments of stress and fear. It made him feel safe, and provided order in times where there was none. The counting, however, wouldn't help him find a means of escaping. Even if he manages to get out of the house, what will he tell his parents? Even worse, what will he tell Brian's parents? So many questions flying through David's head, none of which mattered if he can't manage a way to escape. He began to feel around in the cabinet. While one wouldn't expect there to be much light underneath a closed sink, The pitch black that surrounded David couldn't help but feel unnerving, unnatural. Refusing to let his mind drift, he pressed further around the space, hoping to find anything possible that could aid him. Shifting position, David rolled himself over onto his stomach, as to try to make less sound as he felt around him. In this singular moment, he was glad that he was such a small boy for his age. Otherwise, he may not have been so lucky as to make it into the cabinets before. Chills ran down his body as he let himself, for a split second, remember what it was he was hiding from. He continued through the space around him, beginning to wonder how the space under a sink could feel so, well, spacious. He froze, as the sudden sound of footsteps began above him. Although David was in a particularly compromising and uncomfortable position in that moment, he refused even a sliver of movement as he perked his ears and did the best to tune into the sounds around him. Apart from the initial few steps, there was no further sound. As David began to release, a massive thud resonated nearly directly above the kitchen he was hiding within. Sweat began to drip down his face, overwhelming fear mixing with a hint of claustrophobia as David continued to listen. Following the loud bang above, the sound of dragging could be heard trailing slowly away from his vertical space. Not understanding the layout of the house prevented David from knowing exactly where the sound was heading, but not knowing his surroundings wasn't what gripped him with fear. David knew not only what was moving above him in that moment, but he was almost positive that he knew what, who, it was dragging with it. The sound of shuffling continued slowly across the second floor until eventually fading out of earshot. For a moment, David felt security in the silence as he stayed compressed underneath the kitchen sink. No more sounds carried throughout the house for several minutes, so he slowly fixed his posture within his hiding place and prepared for a long wait within the walls of that forsaken house. If he could just make it today and his vision could return to him, he could leave his crevice and try to make his way out. As the hours passed, a slow realization fell over David as any hope of escaping began to dwindle. Day never came. Realizing that panic was beginning to set in, he once again began to count. Managing to get his mind and heart rate somewhat under control, David worked to focus on the problems at hand. Grappling with his senses, David tried to process how he had yet to see any light peek through the cabinet doors in front of him. Surely it had been hours since he first found residence within the space, and even longer since he first made entry with Brian into the house. Having lost his cell phone, which his mother had conveniently bought him only days prior, somewhere within the house, gave David no hope of knowing the time or contacting others for help. For now, he was stuck. But in some ways, he considered himself lucky. Everything had happened so fast, and David couldn't help but regret ever allowing Brian to talk him into sneaking into the house. It was supposed to be a fun adventure. The two boys finding their way into an abandoned home down the street from Brian's. Even as little kids, David was never the type to find thrill in such exploits. However, as the two boys got older, he found himself wanting to impress Brian, and others, more and more. David was tired of being seen as a kid that couldn't face his fears, so he decided to take up Brian on his offer to explore the derelict space. Through Brian's description, David learned that the abandoned house had been standing for as long as anyone could remember. Brian's dad, who grew up only a few blocks over, spoke of passing the space time and time again with his friends, and never thinking much of it. Come to think of it, how this house has stood for so long without anybody's intervention was a curiosity that briefly gripped David. Regardless, he felt continued pangs of regret as he recounted the period after they sneaked into the back first floor window. He had told Brian that he didn't want to be alone in the house, but Brian left him anyway. Brian had always been the type to look fear in the eye, and this understanding tore into David's mind as he realized what it had cost him. The sounds of footsteps pulsated against the second story floorboards again, and this time they seemed to move with purpose. David listened intently, waiting for any signs of the steps gathering closer towards him. He began to question escape, waiting for an opportunity where the steps above him drifted out of range and he could use that time to get away. This hope dissipated rapidly as the footsteps above seemed to make their way to the top of the stairway within the house. Suddenly they slowed, and David's eyes widened with every impact against the stairs as the entity crept closer to his position. A quick visualization flashed through his mind of what little he had been able to see when he was nearly caught upstairs. At first, he had assumed the thing to be a woman. It's just that it was much too large. The being must have been over 8 feet tall and offered the slightest hunch as it clobbered through the space of the abandoned house. Had it not grabbed Brian first? David brought himself to focus again on the situation in front of him, just as the footsteps managed their way to the bottom of the stairs. For a second, silence. Then, a sound that gripped David to his very core and washed away any ideas of ever leaving his hiding space. The creature began humming. David's heart was racing, for he had heard the sound once much earlier in the night. It was the last sound heard before he saw Brian grabbed and taken. The only sound that brought as much fear to David was the screaming heard from Brian that lasted merely a few short seconds following his capture. One, two, three, four. He focused. David had not waited to see how Brian was silenced. The only confidence that came from David's immediate escape to the bottom floor was the belief that he was not directly seen by the creature. This offered possible safety, as he may not be known to even be hiding in the house. The humming continued around David as the entity began to make its way through the first floor hallway towards the kitchen where David was still hiding. His heart rate escalated as the footsteps began to be drowned out by the increasing volume of the humming. David swallowed out of fear, but then his body locked. The footsteps stopped directly at the entrance of the kitchen. The humming, however, continued. David made a single plea to whatever God watched over the world he lived in. He didn't want to die. He wanted to be home, safely tucked away in his bed. He wanted to be as far away from this monstrous house and whatever it was that currently kept him caged within it. He wanted to be free of his fear. The only problem was, David was counting out loud, and the creature heard him.
Be sure to follow Bad Dreams on social media and rate, review, and subscribe to Bad Dreams wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.